Hi friends, welcome to Spilling the Beans podcast, where we spill the beans on all things intuitive eating, health at every size, body acceptance, and gentle nutrition. I'm your host and registered dietitian, Amanda Lambrix, and you may know me as @spillingthebeans_nutrition on Instagram and Facebook. Go ahead, get comfortable, grab a snack, and let's get started spilling the beans. Welcome back. I wanted to take a moment to express my gratitude for any of you out there who took the time last week to listen to episodes 1 and 2, subscribed, and or left a review. I really can't begin to tell you how much that means to me just to receive any form of support and encouragement on this new journey. Because realistically, a podcast without listeners is ultimately just me talking to myself into a microphone on the floor of my closet. So I really appreciate your making this more than just my audio journal. On this week's episode, we're going to be exploring the topic of numbers in diet culture and the world at large. First, we're going to be talking about the numbers that are often used to measure our worth, whether we realize it or not, why this is problematic, and then we're going to finish with some helpful tips. Have you ever noticed how obsessed our world is with numbers? Some numbers kind of make sense, right? I mean, I can kind of understand why we want to pay attention to the stock market and see how that's doing and whether we have enough money to pay for our rent. But then there's other numbers. Today, our world is swarming with the emphasis on numbers. There's the focus on the number of followers on Instagram or Twitter. In fact, I remember a few years ago, back when I was in graduate school, seeing this interview on the news with teenagers using Instagram accounts and some of the impacts that it had on them. I distinctly remember one girl saying that if she didn't get at least 100 likes on a photo, that she would immediately delete it because, and I quote, "that's just embarrassing." And to be honest, until that point, I hadn't really thought so much about the number of likes I was getting on pictures that I posted with my friends on a Friday night. But after that, yeah, it kind of stuck with me. I remember thinking, oh wait, am I supposed to feel embarrassed that I only got 12 likes? Even from time to time these days, on my own Instagram feed for my business, if a post doesn't gain as much traction as previous posts, I kind of start to question myself. Oh, and don't even get me started on the story about how one of my boyfriends in college broke up with me using numbers on a spreadsheet. Let me repeat that in case you didn't hear me correctly. One of my boyfriends in college broke up with me using the numbers on a spreadsheet. You absolutely heard that correctly. I literally had this boyfriend who was studying to be a mechanical engineer. Obviously was a very analytical person, and he sent me a copy of the spreadsheet he had created to help him decide whether he wanted to continue seeing me or not at the time. So to paint a picture of what this spreadsheet looked like, because you better believe I still have a copy of this spreadsheet for kicks and storytelling purposes. So it had 4 columns. The first column listed my attributes. So he listed things like ambitious, financial mindset, appearance, demeanor, moodiness. Yeah, I didn't score very high on that one. And then the next column had scores. So there was anything from a -7, which I believe was my lowest score, and my highest score was a 9. And then the next column had weight. So he put a weight as far as which things were a little more important than others. And then he came up with the final score. So my final score was a whopping 3.8. Yeah, I think it's safe to say I didn't pass that particular test, even though I didn't know I was taking a test, to be fair. So I guess I wasn't worth his time, according to this spreadsheet. He had no problem sending me a copy of the spreadsheet when I was confused about the sudden breakup that happened out of the blue. To be honest, at the time, my 21-year-old self was a bit deflated. I remember thinking like, oh crap, how will anyone ever love me? I now have this conditionally formatted spreadsheet telling every reason why you shouldn't love me. But thankfully, I'm a little older now, and I'm a lot more confident and secure in myself, and I realized that this really didn't have a lot to do with me. It was more his own misogynistic ego that had the problem. And I'm telling you this because, A, it's such an outrageous story, and no one ever believes me when I tell them that I was dumped with a spreadsheet. And B, numbers truly are everywhere, even in your embarrassing past relationships. So there's this whole world of worth being found in the numbers on our social media feeds or, you know, your ex-boyfriend's spreadsheets. But what about other aspects of our lives? From an early age, we learn about the number on the scale. Do you guys remember ever having to line up and get weighed in gym class? I remember in middle school gym class, we would have to line up outside the nurse's office, take off our shoes, and step on the scale once we got in her office. While I'm sure they were trying to make it private because we would go into her office, the door was still wide open with a whole line of girls waiting their turn outside. And if I could clearly hear the weight of the classmate ahead of me, then I'm assuming the girls behind me could also hear the number when it was my turn as well. So we'd get this handout with the number of pounds we weighed, along with our BMI, which really didn't make a lot of sense to me at the time. And I'll explain later in this episode why I still don't think it makes a lot of sense. And I don't know if the experience was different for any other girls in my class. I do have to admit, I do have privilege in that I've always been in a straight-sized body. But even so, I remember getting this positive reinforcement that my weight was somehow, quote unquote, acceptable. And that was just another number on the list of ways I already was measuring my worth. Depending on your experience in school, whether you're a student right now or you were in the education system at one point, you maybe had a similar attachment to grades as I did. I really saw my grades as showing my achievements and my worth if I was able to achieve a high grade. So BMI and weight became just another way that I would measure my worth. It was another number to add to the list. And the thing is that our worth being found in our size is constantly being reinforced by the world we live in. I mean, just think about it. As you're scrolling through your social media, the chances are pretty high that you'll stumble across a myriad of headlines promoting the latest trend for losing weight. Whether it's a former classmate promoting that plastic wrap gimmick where you put it around your midsection and they claim it works, or it might be someone encouraging you to try Whole30, even though it has all these restrictions, they're still claiming, oh no, it's not a diet, it's a lifestyle. It's truly all around us. It's pretty impossible to escape. And if you want another number to add to your memory, take the $66 billion annual diet and weight loss industry. That's a whole lot of money being thrown into telling you that you need to shrink the number on the scale. And it's not helpful. It's so problematic for a number of reasons. One of the first reasons that comes to mind of why it's problematic is because it's probably impacting the way that you're living your life. Have you ever found yourself in that trap of weighing yourself on a daily basis? You know, you get up in the morning, you maybe go to the bathroom first, but the immediate second thing that you do is hop on the scale and stand there anticipating and anxiously awaiting what that number is going to be today. I know that I've been in that cycle in a couple of different points in my life, and I can tell you one thing, there was never a day where that number was good enough. It would dictate the rest of my day. If it was lower, my inner dialogue was like, cool, but it could be better. Or if it was higher, my inner critic was like, yeah, we're gonna have to cut back today and probably, you know, exercise more. Have you been in that same cycle? You truly can never win. Not only is it impacting the way that you're living your life, but it's also making your self-esteem plummet. With weather warming up where I currently live, it's that time of year where I can start rummaging through my drawers and pulling out some clothes meant for warmer weather. But let's say this year a pair of my shorts is a bit more snug than it used to be. While our bodies are not machines and they're actually meant to change and not stay the same size as they were, say, in high school, this can easily cause a person to feel terrible about themselves. Because, God forbid, we size up and feel a bit more comfortable in the clothing that we're wearing. What typically happens is that we hang on to that smaller pant size or dress size or whatever the case may be, and it's now deemed our quote unquote goal outfit that we have to get back into. And if your body is no longer meant to be that size, how are you then supposed to feel about yourself? So I think you're probably getting the idea that our society has this obsession with numbers. And there's tons of numbers that I didn't even mention for the sake of time, but you could probably think of a few other numbers that we fixate on that we could add to the list. So how can we start shifting our perspective? I have a couple of different things I want to talk about. So first, I want to talk about BMI. Now, if you're skeptical of the health at every size paradigm, you might be thinking, but what about the obesity epidemic, Amanda? I really can't afford to not worry about my weight. I can't let myself go. And I totally get it. That's what was preached during my entire undergraduate and graduate school education. But let's first take a look at BMI more closely. Have you ever really thought about what BMI actually is? If you're tuning in as a dietetic student or as a dietitian or just really anyone in general, maybe you've been taught how to calculate BMI. I can still ramble off that equation in my sleep, to be honest. But have you ever thought about where it came from and why we maybe use it? Yeah, I never really questioned it either. But a couple years ago, it came to my attention that BMI was actually first created in the 1800s by a mathematician and statistician who needed a tool for statistically drawing conclusions about populations in society. So he was essentially performing epidemiological studies. It was never intended to be what we're seeing it used as today, which is this tool for the medical field to place you in a category like underweight, normal weight, overweight, or obese. Yet that's what we're seeing it used for. And we're seeing it now classified as this disease, even though a committee that was talking about that topic actually voted against naming obesity as a disease. On top of that, there's all these different studies that show how weight stigma, which is often perpetuated by the medical world, is actually an independent risk factor. And those are studies that are controlled for BMI. So we have this world that shames people in diverse bodies, yet it's further contributing to health problems and making people less likely to seek care. And trust me, I could spend a whole episode and probably will invite an expert on to talk more about weight stigma, because that's a whole topic that we're just barely touching the surface on today. If you're holding a lot of worth in the number on the scale, I want you to know another thing. I want you to have some perspective on that number, because weight is influenced by a number of factors. Part of the reason that weighing yourself is problematic is because, honestly, it's normal for your weight to fluctuate. Weight is influenced by your hydration status, the phase of your menstrual cycle, medications, hormones, and probably something that's not emphasized enough is your genetics. In fact, there have even been studies in the past which indicate that our genetics play a significant role in determining our body weight and adiposity, as shown in studies on twins who have been raised in different environments from birth. In addition, our bodies also have what's called a set point weight range in which bodies like to operate at. This means that our bodies have this happy weight that they like to stay at through a feedback control mechanism. And let me know if you want me to talk more about set point weight theory in another episode so I can further explain that with more time. And another thing to remember is that the number on the scale doesn't necessarily mean you are healthy or not. Weight doesn't actually tell the whole story. So just as weight is influenced by many different factors, it also doesn't tell you the whole story about your body composition. The number on the scale doesn't tell you how much muscle mass you may or may not have. It doesn't tell you your bone size. It doesn't tell you your waist circumference. It doesn't tell you your blood pressure. It doesn't tell you your lab values, which, by the way, I don't necessarily think it's helpful to obsess about those numbers either. But if we're just talking about weight, it's not telling you any of those things. It's just one number in a point of time. But it's really not telling you anything about your health at all. And probably the most important thing I want you to take from this is that weight does not make you more or less valuable. In fact, none of these numbers that we've talked about today make you more or less valuable. To be honest, one of the things I hate most about society is how we are promised some kind of miraculously perfect life if only we lose weight. We see this all the time. People are promoting this weight loss program, and they paint this grim picture of what life currently looks like. Just think about the pictures with before and after of people who have claimed that they've lost weight. They're usually slumped over, they're never smiling, and they always look completely miserable. Then one day they lose weight and it seems like poof, all of those problems have vanished. It seems like you're promised more energy, more sex appeal, enjoyment in life from doing X, Y, and Z, whatever plan it might be. However, I can tell you that any problem you are currently experiencing in your life likely has very little to do with that number that flashes across the scale when you wake up in the morning. In fact, that number doesn't tell you anything about who you are as a person. It doesn't tell you your passions in life and all of the good that you're bringing to the world. Finally, I want you to know that you deserve a place in this world no matter what your size, no matter how many followers you have on Instagram or Twitter, no matter how many Facebook friends you have or real life friends for that matter, doesn't matter what your pant size is, you deserve to be treated fairly, kindly, and with empathy just for simply being alive. I saw this interview with Demi Lovato recently, and it was on Ashley Graham's podcast, and she was talking a bit about her struggle with her eating disorder. And she said, "I'm not willing to destroy my mental health to look a certain way anymore." Please know that you are worth so much more than your appearance and any number, and I hope that you're not willing to destroy your mental health or your life either just to attain a certain number or appearance. That's our show for today. Thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you to Anchor for again hosting my podcast. Be sure to download and subscribe this podcast on Apple or your favorite streaming device. If you're looking for ways to get started on your own journey towards food freedom, head over to my website at spillingthebeansnutrition.com/course to get started on my self-paced course. If you need more individualized help, I also offer virtual coaching, and you can get in touch with me at spillingthebeansnutrition.com/virtual-coaching. To get show notes from this episode, you can go to spillingthebeansnutrition.com/podcast. And of course, if you're not already following me on Instagram or Facebook, I'm at spillingthebeans_nutrition. Our album art was photographed by my very own little cousin, Brittany Preller, and our theme song was written by Daniel James O'Connor and is used under the Creative Commons license.